The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos in which he said, what, according to his opinion, of the 613 mitzvahs. So one of the very early mitzvahs, I think mitzvah hey, is the mitzvah to daven once a day, every day. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He quotes the Gemara that says that tefillah is only with the Rabbanim. Tefillah, if the Ramban agrees that tefillah is the raisa, tefillah based tzara. If there's a mochama, if there's an epidemic, if there's a plague or something like that, there's no rain, and nothing is going to grow, and the animals are going to die, then a tefillah is the raisa. But he thinks even when tefillah is the raisa, based tzara, it shouldn't be counted as a separate mitzvah. Why not? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, the Ramban agrees, he says, no, that's a mitzvah of amunah. You have to believe in God. Let's say, if I have to buy a home, I have to put a down payment on a home, and I'm just starting off, I just got married, and my parents have money. So my parents love me, so of course they're going to help me out. So that's a mitzvah to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to help you out when you're based Zorah. We believe in God, we believe God has the ability to intervene in the world. So of course you're going to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that doesn't deserve to be counted as a separate mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Emunah. But the Rambam considers it a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day. When the Gemara says that tefillah is only the Rabbanon, so the Rambam says that means to daven three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, four times a day, five times a day, say Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. That's only the Rabbanon. Or the particular Nusach HaTefillah, that's only the Rabbanon. But in principle, that one is obligated to daven every day, that the Rambam holds that's a mitzvah menater. How did Rambam get this idea that once a day, every day, maybe once in a lifetime, once in a year, how do you know once a day, every day? So the Steipler writes in his Sefer on Brochus, probably got it from the Gemara. The Gemara says that duchening, the obligation to duchen, is only when you're called upon. If they don't ask the Kohen to give the bracha, he's not mechuyev. And even if they call, let's say, he duchen by the first minyan, then he has to go to work. And in the second minyan, there's no Kohen. So they ask him, could you stay for the second minyan to duchen again? So the Gemara says, Minat Torah, he's not mechuyev to duchen a second time in the same day. If you duchen shachris and musaf, so you already duchen in the morning, so that's only, he's only mechuyev to duchen and musaf in the rabban. Minat Torah is not mechuyev to duchen a second time in the same day, whether for the same group or for a different group of people. Minat Torah only once a day, every day. So the same is regarding tefillah. The Rambam understood there's a mitzvah, and it doesn't say explicitly how often you have to fulfill the mitzvah. So it's understood that it's once a day, every day. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that the correct way, the Derech Eretz way to daven is to start off with Shevach and to end off with Hodoyah. But that's not really the essence of the davening. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need the Shevach and he doesn't need the Hodoyah. The essence of the davening is the middle part, that's the Bakoshas Tzorochim. When we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to take care of all of our needs. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara says, we leave out all the 13 brokas and tzoyos because we don't want to have tachnunim, we don't want to say tchinas on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rav Moshe Feinstein raises a question in his Jubas. So if you leave out the middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei, that's the essence of the davening, is the Bakosh Tzorochim. The beginning is just an introduction, and the end there's a prologue and an epilogue. But the essence of the davening is the middle part. So if you leave out the Bakosh Tzorochim, so you're left with nothing. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, no, there are bakoshes tzorochim for gashmiyus dikkur needs, and bakoshes tzorochim for ruchnius dikkur needs. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's supposed to leave out the bakoshes for gashmiyus dikkur needs, and only speak the concluding paragraph in the middle brachas, Elkein l'kevah seinu, v'tzeibim l'chasein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our observance on Shabbos, gachenu b'mitzvasech, m'sein chakenu b'sorosech, tar l'beinu l'yobtucha b'emes, these are ruchnius dikkur bakoshes, and the same is on Rosh Hashanah, when we daven Musaf, so there are three brachas in the middle. You have Malchus, Chanes, and Shofar. So each of the three brachas in the middle concludes with a bakosha of a ruch nias diganesh. The kain kam stein of lechol kol hon kula bichvedecha minas al kol oretz bikarecha. The kain kam stein of zachen bzikaron tov lefanecha. And Shofar, the kain kam stein of kabbish Shofar god lechevisein. Instead of saying gash means dikat tzarach, we speak about ruch nias dikat tzarach. The Yerushalmi is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim quoted. When we recite Birchas HaMazon, we say, Re'enu Zenena Parnesena Chalkaleinu Harichena V'Harachlanu. You do talk about Gashmi's dick and needs. So the Yerushalmi says, whatever is the standard Nusach that you're allowed to say on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. Just that the Gemara, the Bavli says lahitrichu chachamim, they were mekel, that you don't have to say all the middle brachas. The Gemara has a strange din. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say a person is davening on Shabbos or Yontif, and he starts Dishman Esmer. He forgot that Hashem says atachayin v'adam das, and he started one in the middle bracha. He started atachayin and then shvein avinu sar sechas atachlon. So whatever bracha he began, he has to finish. Because mikra, then you really are mechuyev to say all the brachas in the middle. Just lo hitrichu chachamim. Why are you allowed to say them? I usually we say you're not allowed to say tachnun. The answer is that's the standard nusach. That's the standard nusach. What's really not permissible is to add tchinas. A person should always add personal bakashas. If you need children or someone is expecting a child, you want to daven everything should go well, or someone is sick, or someone needs a job, or someone has to be accepted to medical school, or some kind of a tzorech. So then you have to add on personal bakoshes. So one should not add on personal bakoshes on Shabbos and Yontif for gashmias digger things, for ruchnias digger things that you're allowed to, but for gashmias digger things that's not right. So that's what davening is all about. The essence of the davening is bakoshes terochim, to take care of all of our terochim, al pi pashtas. There is a medrash, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, but the medrash has it. Isn't it strange that Zora and Rivka and Rachel were all Akoris? It's not normal that all the three Imams were Akoris. So the Gemara, and then the Gemara has a tradition that Avraham Yitzchak Yankov were also Akorim. So the Gemara says, because the reason why, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misadal et Tfilosim Shal Tzadikim, the Ribbono Shel Olam has Taibas. We know people, human beings have Taibas. Person has a taiva for women, person has a taiva for money, for food, or for all of the above, or for other things, whatever a person has taivas for. So the Ribbono Shel Olam also has taivas. We don't know what that means. HaKadosh Baruch has a taiva, l'tfilosim shel tzadik. So apparently it's a tzorech that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. We don't know what that means. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a tzorech, he wants people to daven. And the Gemara comments on the pasuk, and the Gemara Brochas comments on the pasuk in Tehillim. It's a difficult pasuk. Pashup Shat is difficult. Kirum zulos livnei odom. So the Gemara says that pasuk in Tehillim is referring to tefillah, which is from the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berum Shaloylam Kirum, and bnei odom amizalsel in bahem. People are not careful when they daven, and it's very serious. These are one of the tefillahs or the tzorech of gavoya. It's a tzorech that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash on the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. Quotes from the Medrash Rabbah on the pasuk, "V'chalsiach hasadu terem yabarz, v'chalaisa hasadu terem yitzmak iloyim tarshem makim alorz v'adamayin la'avodas adamo." So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah a whole interpretation. "V'chalsiach hasadu" refers to davening. "V'yetzi yitzoch masuach masada v'soch" means to daven. The Gemara says we have a tradition that Avram Avinu instituted tefillah shachris, and Mincha was instituted by Yitzchok. Yaakov Avinu instituted Tfilos Arvis. That's why when we start the Shema Nesra, we say Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, because these three Arvis were the ones who instituted the Tfilah. So we're davening following the plan that the Arvis instituted, but davening like they daven. So here also the Pasuk itself, Chalsiach Chasara Terem Yabar, the simple pshat is that there were no bushes growing yet. Nothing was growing because it didn't rain yet. Before it rains, so nothing can grow. So the Medrash has an additional interpretation. Chalsiach Hasad Meloshin Tfilo. There was nobody davening for the grass that it should grow. Ki Elohim Tarashem Al Horas. Baruch Shalom didn't bring them in. Ve'odem Ayin La'avodes La'adomo. Odem Arishin didn't start davening yet. La'avod means avodes shebolim, to daven for the rain. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bring the rain until he created Odem Arishin, and Odem Arishin prayed for the rain. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world. He wanted people to daven for things. And we don't understand what he needs it for. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misaber letfilos b'nei odom, letfilos atzadikim. But that's what the Midrashim have. Tfilos only when you have, when you're missing something. There's a Midrash that says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes animals, whoever did something wrong, so it's not like a boss of a dumb. A human being, if I'm angry at someone, I want to take nekama, so I'll destroy the person totally. I'll ruin his marriage, I'll ruin his parnasa, I'll ruin him, I'll kill him, I'll do whatever I can to destroy the person. But Islam is very easygoing. He gives you a little, he slaps you on the hand, and he doesn't punish you so much. So the Gemara, the Medrash comments this with respect to the Nochash, that the Nochash was responsible for the chet of the Eitz Hadas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Nochash. The Nochash used to eat normal fruits and vegetables, and then he used to walk on his feet, and then instead of eating ice cream and cookies and latkes, so now the Nochash eats offer tochel kol yimei chayecha. Whatever the Nochash eats tastes like offer. And the Nochash always has parnasa. There's always something to eat. If a human being or an animal gets stuck on a desert island and there's no food to eat, so he's going to die from starvation. He can't eat the grass. It's not enough to live a long period of time. And the Nochash always has offer. Wherever the Nochash goes, he has the offer. So the Velt Esther Kasha and the Medrash, it's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't punish in such a serious fashion. Matzino Chayte Nisker, turns out that after the Nochash sinned, so now he never has to worry about Parnasa. He always has offer. Wherever he goes, there's always offer. So the Nochash is rewarded. So they quote in the name of Rabitza Levurka, one of the early Chassidish Rebbes, one of the early generations, that the punishment of the Nochash was that he'll never be lacking anything. Therefore, he'll never have the right to daven. We only have the right to daven when we're missing something, when we need something. You need a job, you need a shidduch, and you need a refuah shlema, and whatever you need a shidduch for your children, and so on. But if you're not lacking anything, then you have no right to daven. The essence of the davening is the bakashas teruch. So that was the punishment of the nochash, that because the nochash will never be lacking anything, so he'll have nothing to daven about. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah sounds like he describes what was the din tefillah deraisa until the days of Ezra. Ezra was for Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, so they instituted we should daven three times a day and a particular nusach tefillah. So first the Rambam writes what the din deraisa was. So the Rambam writes you have to daven nochach hamigdosh. That's a din deraisa. You have to face the Beis Hamigdosh when you daven, and you have to start off with shelach and end off with haidoya. In the middle is the bakashas teruch. So the Rambam seems to be writing that these are dinim deraisim. What is the mocker that nochach hamigdash should be deraisim? We learn out from the psukim in Tefillah Shlomo and Sefer Melachim. When Shlomo built the Beis Hamigdash, so he offered a long tefillah that appears both in Sefer Melachim and in Divrei Yomim. And he says in the tefillah, all the Jewish people will daven. Espala lecha derech habayis hazev, espala lecha derech irazos, espala lecha derech artzom. So the Gemara interprets in Brachos, those of the Mechutz Lord should face Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael, when they're davening Shemana Esrei, should face Yerushalayim. Mispadlalecha, derech irazos. Those who are davening in Yerushalayim, mispadlalecha, derech habayis hazeh. They should face the Beis Hamikdash. How did that become a din deraisa? Shlomo HaMelech said, what is the same Chumash that you have to daven nochach hamigdash? So then it's in his commentary on Chumash, suggests maybe l'shichna sidrishu. Maybe that's referring to facing the Beis Hamikdash when you daven. Lidrosh means to daven. L'shich nesidrosh, you should face the Beis Hamikdash because the Beis Hamikdash is Aviyosim el Hakadosh v'simachtem v'beis tefilosi. One of the major roles of the Beis Hamikdash is that it's kibeis beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'am. Beis Hamikdash is a makom tefilah, either to daven in the Beis Hamikdash or to face the Beis Hamikdash when one is davening. So this requirement for have to introduce the tefillah, the bakosha sarachim, with a shevach. So this is enhanced, not just that we say the Gimel Rishon is the first three brachas of the Shemon Esrei, serve as the introduction to the 13 brachas in the middle. You have the Birchas Kriyashma, is also full of shevach, and the Psuka de Zimra is also more shevach. Shevach on top of shevach. The Gemara, towards the end of Masechus Shabbos, the Gemara has different Tanoim and Amoraim say, I hope I'll always be able to be Mekayim this, to be Mekayim that. So one of the Tanoim says, I hope I'll always be able to say, Hei Chelkin Gomri HaHalel B'chol Yom. I hope I'll always be able to recite Halel every day of the year. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? It's not permissible to recite Halel every day. One who says, Halel B'chol Yom HaRez Mecharef HaMegadef, as if he's making fun of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We haven't done any Nisan for us lately. So what do you mean the Tana says, I hope I'll be able to daven halal every day? So the Gemara answers there are two kinds of halal. There's halal ha-mitzri, that's on nisim, b'tzeis on mitzrayim, that's called halal ha-mitzri. That's reserved to special occasions. And then there's a halal psuka de zimra. So the halal psuka de zimra is a halal for teva. The halal mitzvah is the halal for nisim, for the malam and teva. So he meant to say, he hopes he'll be able to say psuka de zimra every day. So the Mishkan Es Yankif has all tshuva where he says that some think that psuka de zimra was introduced in later generations. So he quotes sources from the Zohar that they think it was introduced by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. You have the bracha before and after. Baruch Shama and Yishtabach. What do you mean the brachas were introduced after? He says the Pashup Shat, the brachas were there all along. The Pashup Shat in Gemara is either that not all the people were careful about saying Psukei Dezimra. Maybe it was instituted Melechatchila as an optional thing. Like the Gemara, the Mishnah says that the bracha b'Halelucha, the conclusion of Hallel, is optional even on a day when one is obligated to recite Hallel on Chanukah. And one is obligated to say the bracha shekirushana b'mitzosu b'tzivana before the halal, but the reciting of the bracha b'halaluch at the end depends on the minig amokim. So what does it mean? The bracha was not composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. No, it was composed as an optional bracha. If you want to, you can say. So the same could be regarding Psukah de Zimra. It doesn't necessarily mean that all the people always came late to shul, and the mele, they missed Psukah de Zimra every day. He says, I hope I'll be able to say Psukah de Zimra. That means I hope I'll come on time to shul. It could be that it really was a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as a rishus. It's more correct is to introduce a tefillah with shevach, not only the gimel brachas rishaydus, not only the brachas kriyashma, but also the Psukah de Zimra in the beginning. That's a big in Shulchan Aruch. They quote a big machlekes between the Rabbeinu Yoina on the side of the Rif and Brachas, and the Bali Atesis. The opinion of the Rabbeinu Yoina is, let's say a person comes to shul and the chazan is up to Baruch Hu. By the time I put on my talis and tefillin, the chazan is up to Baruch Hu already. I came late to shul, so the Rabbeinu Yoina's opinion is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You should start with Baruch Hu because that's the tefillah b'tzibah begins with Baruch Hu. And even on Shabbos, let's say, when they're going to sing Kelod, it's going to take 20 minutes. They have a whole choir. It's going to take them a long time. So still, and you can say the whole Psukah de Zimra until they're going to get to the Shemana Esrei. But Tfilah B'Tzibur begins from Baruch Hu, so you should start with the Tzibur with Baruch Hu. So the Rabbeinu Yoina also holds that if you didn't say Psukah de Zimra before Brichos Kriya Shema, you can always say the Psukah de Zimra later with the brachas, with the Baruch Shem and Yishtabach, because the Gemara calls it Halal, just like you can. The more correct place to say Halal is right after Shacharis, before you daven Musaf, let's say on Rosh Chodesh or on Yom Tov. That's how the Mishnah says. The Shleach Tzibur with daven Shacharis should say Halal right after Shacharis, before Kriyas Atar, before Musaf. But if you didn't say Halal after Shacharis, you have all day long. Halal is called Ayam. So Rabbeinu Yoina is of the opinion. More correct is to say Psukah de Zimra before you say Birchas Kriya Shema. But if a person didn't have a chance in the morning, he has all day long to say Halal, because the Gemara called it Halal. It's not the Halal on Mitzvah on Nisim, it's the Halal on Teva. And the Bali Ateis disagree with the Rabbeinu Yoina. They all know that if you didn't say Psukah de Zimra before Shemana Esrei, you don't say if. It's only for the purpose of Yisarad Meshvacha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'chakach Yispalel. And if you're ready daven the Shemana Esrei, you'll gain nothing by saying the Psukah de Zimra later, after the davening. So our practice is we follow the compromise of the Ramban. The Ramban writes in the Tshuva, what happens if you came to shul late and you started from Baruch Hu, the Chazan was up to Baruch Hu, should you say Psukah de Zimra later? So Rabbeinu Yoina holds him mechuyav to say Psukah de Zimra with the brachas, Baruch Shem and Yishtabach. And the Baalei Taisa say, you gain nothing by saying the Halal. So we do a compromise of the Ramban. We say the Psukah de Zimra, but you leave out the Brachas. Because according to the Baalei Taisa, it will be a Bracha Lematon. Because the whole role of Psukah de Zimra is only the Torah's an introduction. So we follow that compromise of the Baalei Taisa. Let's say a person did say Psukah de Zimra, but he abridged it. He says, Baruch Shem, Ashrei Yishtabach. What right do you have to abridge it? So this, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the different opinions, Meikar Adin, what does Psukah de Zimra have to consist of? The one opinion is, all you have to say is Halal. Rashi said, all you have to say is Ashrei. One chapter, so they say, Rosh Hashanah Ashrei Yishtabach, they said the whole Psukah de Zimra. The other opinion is, Rashi on the Gemara in Shabbos, on that Gemara, Kuf Yud Ches in Shabbos, where the Tana says, I hope I'll be able to say Psukah de Zimra every day. So Rashi says, why is it Psukah de Zimra? You say the two Halleluka, Hallelu. Every Pasuk starts Hallelu, Hallelu, repeated many, many times. So that's, you say Ashrei, that's the Gemara in Brocha says about saying Ashrei three times a day. Then you say the other two Hallelukas. Years ago in the Siddur, they used to have these Ashrei, and the two Hallelukas used to be in larger letters, and the other Hallelukas used to be in smaller letters. Means that if you don't have so much time, you only say the ones in the big letters. Now the printers just arbitrarily pick. They print some big letters, some small, doesn't correspond to what you're supposed to say when you don't have so much time. Then if you have more time, so there's an opinion that you have to say from Ashrei till the end of Tehillim, all of the concluding paragraphs in Tehillim. Then there's another opinion that by Baruch David is Ma'akev. That's part of Psukah de Zimra. Because we say in the Baruch Shem, Abishirei David Abdecha, Na'alech Anshabecha, Manifo'ercha, so by Baruch David is one of the Shirei David Abdecha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his Tshuvas, he writes, the Gemara says that you can't recite Kriya Shema l'mafreya. If you say the Psukim of Kriya Shema out of order, you're not Yotze. I mean, out of order means within Shema, within Bahayim Shema. If you say Bahayim Shema before Shema, if you say the Parsha is out of order, but you are Yotze. But if you say the Psukim in within one Parsha out of order, then you're not Yotze, but you're. So that's, or the Shema Esrei, we Paskin, like Taisus, the Brachas of the Shema Esrei have to be recited in order. If you said the brachas out of order, then we pass from like Taisus. Rashi disagrees, but in Shulchan Aruch we accept Taisus Shita, that the brachas have to be recited in order. And if the pages fell out from your seat, you can't figure out which bracha goes before which, so you may as well, you're best not to daven Shema Esrei, because you're going to say out of order, you won't be Yotze. But the Gemara never says that the chapters in Psukah de Zimra, I mean, Halal has to be recited in order also, the Psukim and Halal. Mizach Shemesh Ad Mevoyei has to be in order. Uhulal Shem Hashem. But Psukah de Zimra, the Gemara never said it has to be in order. So Rav Moshe Feinstein recommends, let's say a person doesn't know, the Chazan is davening very quickly. So you say Baruch Shama, then you say Ashrei, then you say two Halalukas that Rashi singles out. Then you say, yeah, more time. So he says the other Halalukas that you missed before. You'll be out of order, but in each Perek and Tilm, you're going to say all the Psukim in order. So Rav Moshe thinks that that's not Miyake. Then if you say you have more time, then you say by Baruch David. If you have more time, then you say Hoidu. Hoidu is less important. The reason why you say Hoidu, the Medrash says that in Mishkan Shiloh, they also brought Tamidim and Musafim. Every day they brought Tamidim and Musafim. And the din requires that the Levim should say Shira at the time that God is pouring the Nisach HaYayin. So in the Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, so the Gemara says they had a Shir Shal Yom. From Tehillim, from David HaMelech's Tehillim. So, B'yam HaRishon HaYomer, B'yam HaSheni HaYomer. Fine. What did they do before David HaMelech composed Tehillim? What did they say in Mishkan Shiloh? So it says, with the Talmud Shal Shachar, they said the first 15 psukim in Hoidu. The Talmud Shal Bein Abayim, they said the next 15 psukim in Hoidu. So that's connected with the psukim of Karbonis that they said before Baruch Shalomar. There's a Hemshech. If people didn't say the Karbonis, it's not so important to say the Hoidu. Alright, it is. Okay? It's Shiri David Abdecha. It's both in Tehillim and in Divrei Hayom. It was composed by David HaMelech. So the most important is the Ashrei. Then you have the other two Hallelukas, the ones that have Hoidu. Hallelu repeated many times. Then the rest of the end of Tehillim. Then by Baruch David, if you have more time, then you say the beginning of Hoidu till. I forgot already what point. Till the two psukim that say Rabbi Moshe Malakim, that's already after the psukim. Then Oz Yoshe, that was added later. Chayodam has a chiddush in the name of the Vilna Gaon. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. The Vilna Gaon said that on Shabbos and Yontav he can't just be mekatze to say Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. The bracha of Yishtabach on Shabbos Yontav begins with Nishmas Kol Chai. It's one long bracha. There were Hasidish Rebbes Tzadikim when they used to daven for Anamen on Shabbos. They didn't take over by Shoychan Ad. They took over by Nishmas Kol Chai. That's the beginning of the bracha. And the minhag usually is that we stand for Baruch Shama and Yishtabach. Maybe in the case we should really stand for the whole Psukah de Zimra. Kabbalah source is like that, but we're lazy, so we don't stand for the Opsuk and the Zimra, so we stand for Baruch Shama and Yishtaba. So many have the practice to stand from Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach, because Nishmas Kol Chai is really the beginning of the bracha of Yishtabach. The Talmidim of Rabbi Leim Steinman published two svarim two, three years ago. They published that they made a likut of everything that that he said about the Chazon Ish, and then they made a likut of everything that he said about Brisk, about the Beis Halevi, about Rav Chaim, about Rav Dovah Lo Soloveitchik. He was brought up in Brisk. He lived in Brisk, so he knew these people personally. So he has a lot of surprising things there. So one of the surprising things is that Rav Chaim never said Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He thought that the Takanas Chachamim, that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, you shouldn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim before you get to the third parasha in Kriya Shema. It's a pele. I mean, it didn't say I was Yosher either. So it does make sense. Anyway, but it's against the Vilna Gaon. The Chayyim quotes the Vilna Gaon. The Shmas Kol Chai is not Stama Piyut. That's the beginning of the Brocha. The Mishnah in Psochem refers to the Shmas Kol Chai as the Birchas Hashir. So you see that the Brocha begins from the Shmas Kol Chai and ends with Yishtabach. So if a person is running late on Shabbos Yantar, he wants to abridge the Psuk of the Zimra, he shouldn't just run quickly and say Baruch Shama Asher Yishtabach. He has to say from Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach. Many shuls, they daven so late on Shabbos and Yom Tov morning that they're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema. So many people have the prayer. They announce in shul when so Zman Kriya Shema is. So they imply to all the people, make sure you say Kriya Shema before you daven. And then the Mishnah says, even if you didn't say Kriya Shema b'zman, Hakori Mekan V'Elach, if you recite Kriya Shema after the Sosman Kriya Shema, Lo Yipsit, Kodem Hakori Batar, he hasn't lost out. What do you mean he hasn't lost out? He didn't say Kriya Shema Bizman. It's a Din D'Oraisa. That the Sefta says, Man Kriya Shema is a Din D'Oraisa. If you don't say Kriya Shema within this Man Kriya Shema, you're not Yotze. So what do you mean Lo Yipsit? Well, it says, Lo Yipsit HaBrachas, he's still allowed to say the Brachas. So that's what they do Lo Hatchilim. Many shuls, they say Kriya Shema before they start the Daven Shachris, before the Sosman Kriya Shema. And then they say the brachas later on. So this is there's this tshuva sefer called Pri Yitzchok Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer. He's known as Rabbi Yitzchok Petterburger. He was a rabbi in St. Petersburg for quite a few years, and then Besof Yomov he retired and he moved to Yerushalayim. He was from the Bali Musa. He was one of the most outstanding talmidim of Rabbi Sol Salanter. He was the strongest in learning, the talmidim of Rabbi Sol Salanter. He was friends with Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam and the others, Rabbi Simcha Zissel. So he was the strongest in learning. The others were stronger in Musa. So he has very strong tshuva. It's called Pri Yitzchok. And he has a whole, it could be, it's the first tshuva. He says that this practice is not proper. Rav Soloveitchik said the Rav Chaim also felt like that. That if the only minyan in town is going to daven shachris after the Shabbos morning, after the Sosman Kriya Shema, so more correct is he should daven bichidus. In order to say Kriya Shema, bizmana al seder abrachas, that's a Takanos Chachamim. Not supposed to say Kriya Shema before the Zosman Kriya Shema, but then say the Brachas later. Supposed to say Kriya Shema during the Zman Deraisa, I'll say the Brachas, where the Chachamim instituted with Smichas Gudul Tefila. You should say Shema and Esri all together. So sometimes it's just going to be 5 minutes off or 10 minutes off, so you can daven ahead a little bit and finish Kriya Shema before the Zosman Kriya Shema, and then say Emes V'yatzev slowly till the Tzibur, till the Chazan gets up to the Shmanes, you're davening Shmanes with the people. You should be careful not to be sure because they leave Maskulam. If you're gonna pause so long, it's gonna be a 15-minute pause in the middle of Emes V'yatziv, then you could have finished the whole Bichas Kriya Shema from the beginning to the end. So the Chatchili, you're not allowed to do that. So you say two lines and then you wait 3 minutes and you say another two lines. You wait another 3 minutes. You can arrange it. If it's gonna be too long, Then the Pri Yitzchok and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik recommended like that. They felt that it's already better to daven b'chidus. Tefillah b'tzibur is a very important dinyan. The Gemara quotes Psukim, the Gemara in Soito, and Perik Eilu Nemarim quotes Psukim, and a Kodesh Baruch Hamoyes b'tfilos harabim. The Gemara quotes it based on Psukim in Tanakh. There's an inyan to daven at Beis HaKnesses also, not to daven at home, even if a person is davening b'chidus. it's better to daven in Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara talks about this. The Yerushalmi quotes a pasuk, "Dirish Hashem behimotzo." So, what does it mean? We should seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of the year when he's more easily available. That's an Aseres Meitshuva. And the Yerushalmi understands behimotzo, the Beis HaKnesses, in the location where he's more readily available. So unless the rabbi woke up late, the rabbi's going to come to shul and daven yichidah, so it'll be a chil Hashem. So the rabbi should daven at home if he's late. But a yochid should really daven in Beis HaKnesses, even if he missed the tefillah b'tzibur. Davening tefillah b'tzibur is very important. The Gemara says when you buy a bushel of apples, even if there's one or two rotten apples, you paid for the whole bushel, so you can't expect your money back if you have one or two rotten apples. But if they're going to sell you one apple and that's a rotten apple, then you're going to get your money back. So if you're a rotten apple, your prayers are not so acceptable. So the bushel may not accept your prayers. But if you daven together with the tzibur, so one rotten apple and the whole bushel, bushel is not going to throw out your tefillah. So you always stand a better chance of having a tefillah answered if you daven tefillah b'tzibur. It's a maila always to daven tefillah b'tzibur as opposed to tefillah b'yochid. Shaila is, what if the tzibur is davening is not so gewaldic? They're davening so fast, you can't have any kavana at all. So do you gain anything by having tefillah b'tzibur? It's going to kill the whole davening. So it's not so bad. Let's say, so you start 50 minutes before that. You start to say Birchas HaShachar before. And you start ahead. When I daven in every Friday morning, I daven Shacharis and Broyers because I have to run to the OU office. So I always daven ahead of them. So I start 10 minutes before them. And then when the chazan gets to Ashrei, I'm already finished with Yishtaba. And then when the chazan gets to the middle of Krishma, I start Shmon Esrei. So that when I finish Shmon Esrei, the chazan is just about to start the Chazara Sashas. So I got more correct is to have Tefillah B'tzibur to start the Shmon Esrei together with another 9 people. 10 people should be saying one word or another of the bracha of Magen Avraham, the first bracha of Avos, simultaneously. But if by fulfilling that, have the Iker Tefillah B'tzibur, everybody saying Avos together, I'm going to miss the whole Chazaras Hashat, I'm going to miss the Kedusha, so it doesn't pay. So it's better ready to daven ahead, to start davening Shmon Esrei ahead. The Gemara says you're not allowed to daven ahead of the people in the shul. It means I'm in a rush, I have to leave early, so I'm going to daven ahead of them and I'm going to leave before they're going to finish it. That's not the right. That's a bizarre natsiba. But if I'm going to daven, I'm going to start Shmon Esrei. When they're in the middle of Krishma, I'm going to start Shmon Esrei in order that I should finish before they start Chazor HaShachat, and I'm going to stay there. So that, I'll be pasha, that is permissible.
In the mashal of the apples, is there a chilek between tzibors? You'd want daven with it. If tzibor has a certain constellation of people there, that their tefillah is more better chance.
There certainly is. I would assume that if the whole tzibur is rotten apples, yeah, certainly is a difference. Yeah. So the shaila is like this: the first Taisvus in Brachas discusses an issue of Tarte Desasa. This is machlokes Hatan Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. When is it man mincha? When is it man maris? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you have to finish mincha by plaga mincha, and you can start davening maariv. You can say the Shmon Esrei maariv before shkiel. So how do we pass him? So the Gemara says, optional. David Kamar, Rabbi David Kamar. You want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, it's fine. You want to follow the Rabbanan, it's fine. So the problem was that the Bali Ataisviz daven tarte the sastre. They used to daven mincha after the plaga mincha, and then used to daven mara before shkia. So this neither here nor there. So the Rabbi Natam and the first Taisviz and Brachas is not bothered with this. You daven mincha like the Chacham, and we daven mara like Rabbi Yehuda sheet, that you can daven mara after plaga mincha. So all the Baal HaTaisis, all the Rishonim disagree. It's a Tarte Desasa. So it's not right to do that. So the Shaila, the Mishnah Berurah has a Shaila. He quotes from the Sefer Oilas Talmid. Magen Avraham always quotes from the Sefer Oilas Talmid. Quotes from the Oilas Talmid. What if the only minion in town, the only minion that's available to you is you're going to daven Tarte Desasa. You're going to daven Mincha after the Plaga Mincha and Mare before the Shkil. What should you do? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Oilas Talmid that since you're going to get tefillah b'tzibur, so it's preferable to daven tefillah b'tzibur, even though it's going to be tarte desasa. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He has the shaila. He doesn't even mention the fact that the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Oilas Talmud about it. he writes like from scratch, and he thinks that the maila of tefillah b'tzibur only is if the tefillah is proper. So then that's the icing on top of the cake. Even you enhance the davening by having the tefillah offered tefillah b'tzibur. But if you're going to daven, b'yichidus is going to be correct. They won't have a tarta d'sasra, but more correct. If you daven tefillah b'tzibur, then you're going to have a tarta d'sasra. So it's better to daven b'yichidus rather than to daven. So rather, so pick one or the other, either mincha or mar. Say one of them b'tzibur and the other one. You should daven b'yichidus. That's what Moshe said. I thought the Rabbi Moshe made more sense. Do you have to stand? Do you have to sit? So there was in the days of the Tanaim, there was a machlokes b'shamay b'sil. So b'shamay b'rabbi the opinion that b'boiker everyone should stand for Kriya Shema. B'shach b'chao v'kumecha. B'kumecha means Kriya Shema in the morning should be recited in a standing position. Kriya Shema in the evening should be recited b'shach b'chao in a reclining position. And the Mishnah says we don't paskin like b'shamay. Most of the machlokes in b'shamay b'sil, we do not accept Beishamai's opinion, and it's not permissible to be machmer like Beishamai. It's against the halacha. So Taisa says because that's the false pshat in the pasuk. B'shach b'chol kumecha does mean in a standing position and a reclining position. It rather means bizman shemini yodim omdim, bizman shemini yodim shochim. When people are waking up and when people are sleeping. That's what Taisa says. Rav Soloveitchik thought even more than that, that the Gemara learns that from the pasuk, b'lech t'chov aderech halodim kori kedarkoi. We learn that from the pasuk that you're not allowed to, that you don't have to, and you're not supposed to, and you're not allowed to be makdid to recite Kriya Shema in a specific position. Like the Medrash, the Taz, and Simen Ches, and Ilchas Tzitzis quotes a Medrash that by Melech Basav Adam, when they read the letter from the Melech, they ask everybody to stand. When you go to the Lubavitcher wedding, they ask, will everybody please stand? We're going to read a letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So by Melech Basav Adam, that's what you do. So by Melech Basav Adam, they'll ask everyone has to stand out of respect for Melech. The Baruch Shalom is easygoing. It says Kriya Shema you can recite standing, sitting, reclining, whatever position you have, you happen to be in. Kol Adam Kori Kedarkoi. And if you'll be machmer like Beis Shammai, it's against the halacha. You're not allowed to be machmer davka to recite Kriya Shema in the morning in a standing position, to recite Kriya Shema in the evening in a reclining position. That's not right. That's what the Taz quotes also, Atifa, that by the Melech Basav Adam, he sends letters to his citizens. So when you read the letter, everybody has to be dressed properly by Atifa. And when you say Kriya Shema, you don't have to have Atifa. So there's some people, they daf get put the talus over their heads when you say Kriya Shema. So that's a Rav Soloveitchik thought that's against the din. That's exactly Kolodim Kori Kedaki. You're not allowed to do something to go out of your way to dress up specially or to stand in a specific position, the covered Kriya Shema, that's halacha, that kol adam should be kori kedarkoi. When do you have atifa? So Shemoneh Esrei we need, you know, they made a takana, Shemoneh Esrei has to be recited by amida in a standing position. Unless a person is traveling on a plane and he's going to miss the Sozman Tefillah, so he has no choice. So then, rather than if it's not safe to stand, If you're able to stand, so you should stand. But if you're going to get in everybody's way, so then let's say you're going by car, so you can't stand in the middle of the car. So then if you're stuck and it says Sos Mantvila is coming to an end, then you have no choice. Then you can daven in a sitting position. So Shemoneh Esrei, we know that you're supposed to stand l'chatchila. What other parts of the davening have to be recited by Amida? So there was a practice that when you recite Karbonin, so you have to do by Amida because in the Beis Hamikdash, they had to stand. Everybody in Azara had to stand. And even B'diyebet, if you sit, so you violated the din, and Yeshiva Bazar Elo Malchit Beis David Bovad, only the kings from the Malchit Beis David are permitted to sit. You violated the din, but it's even B'diyebet, the korban is puzzle. The Mishnah says in Zochem, if a kohen was makar of the korbanis in a sitting position, so the korbanis are puzzle, you have to do it over again. So there was such a practice that you stood when you said Karbonis in the morning. Most people do not have that practice today. But that practice carried over by Mizmor L'Soida. When you recite Mizmor L'Soida, they used to recite Mizmor L'Soida when they brought a Karbon Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. So those who stood for Karbonis stood also for Mizmor L'Soida. Our meaning all over is that when you say Karbonis, you don't stand. So what are people standing for Mizmor L'Soida? So the Pashto says there's no need for that. How can we stand for Baruch David? Why David HaMelech said it by Midos? We don't know. Why do we stand for Baruch David? It's very unclear. We stand for Baruch Shammai Nishtabach, because this, I think the Mishkan and Sanhedrin quotes is based on passages from the Zohar that really more correct is to stand for the whole Pesukah of Zimra. So we're lazy, so we stand for Baruch Shammai Nishtabach, or from Nishmas through Yishtabach. Why do you stand when you're saying by Baruch David? So they say the name of Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky, a suggestion that the Mishnah Bikurim says when the pilgrims would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, everyone would stand up out of respect for the Oisei Mitzvah. These were farmers, they were not Tamir HaChamin. But the respect that you have to show to a person who's going to do a Mitzvah is greater than the respect you have to show for a Talmud Chacham. If one is employed by somebody else, he's not supposed to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, but he's going to be mevatel from the work. He's cheating the balabas. But when the farmers came bringing the bikurim, so everybody, even those who were not self-employed, even those who were employed by others, everybody stood up out of respect for the Oisei Mitzvah. Some Rishonim say that's why you stand up when the chassan marches down the aisle, because he's on his way to do the mitzvah of getting married. And when they bring the baby for the bris, the meaning is that you stand up out of respect for the kvata who's bringing the baby, not out of respect for the baby. When you have a funeral, so you stand up out of respect for the Chevra Kedisha who are bringing the mason. Not out of respect for the mason. We never stood up for the mason while he was alive. Why should we stand up now that he's dead? We're standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kedisha who are doing the mitzvah. So the Pischi Chuvin Hilchas Tzedakah raises a possibility. Maybe we should really stand up for the Gabbai Shul Tzedakah when he goes around with the Pushka in order to collect Tzedakah. So Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky is quoted as having suggested then maybe that's where the minhag developed, that everybody stands up by Baruch David, because the Gabbai used to walk around to collect money at the beginning of by Baruch David, because he'd say, all the wealth comes from the Rabbanu Shalom, so when you say, so you give stock. So that's where that minhag perhaps developed. Yeah. If that's the reason why someone is davening v'chidus, no need to stand up. Yeah, why do you say karbonis? So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Megillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris ben Atzarim with Avraham Avinu. He asked, "Bama'eda ki rashen." Bama'eda means what's chus? Will my children have the right to run Eretz Yisrael, the government, and Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Koli egnam shaleshes, etc." B'schus hakravas hakarbonis. Then that's all it says in the Chumash. Then the Gemara continues the last Amud Beis, the Megillah. Megillah ends on an Amud Aleph, so the last Amud Beis. So the Gemara says there, Avraham Avinu asked the Rebbe Shlom, what's going to be Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash? What right do the Jews have to have Eretz Yisrael but not bring in Karbonis? So the Rebbe Shlom said, let them recite Pesukei HaKarbonis Amal Ani Alem Kilu Hikrivam. I will consider it as if they brought the Karbonis. So the Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachas takes that Gemara to be a real Din D'Oraisa. He's supposed to recite Karbonis every day. And the Shulchan Aruch it says it's a midas chasidus to recite karbonis, but the Mefarshim quote this Rabbi and he holds that it's a real chiyuv deraisa to recite karbonis every day. Mal ani aleihem kiilu hikrivim. What is the Shir Shalom all about at the end of the davening? So the Ramban Chumash says the main part of the Shir Shalom is to say the first sentence, Ayam yam sheni b'Shabbos. You want to count every day of the week. Instead of saying Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we say Rishon B'Shabbos, Sheni B'Shabbos, Shlishi B'Shabbos. That's to fulfill the mitzvah of Zochas Yom Shabbos L'Kacha. All week long, we should count the days of the week, how many days there are left till Shabbos. So really, it's the first line that's the most important thing. So if you're running late, and you have no time to say, if you're going to daven slowly, and the chazan is going to finish, you didn't even finish Ashrei yet, you didn't finish the Vav Tzin yet, and you have to start the Seder soon. So you just say the first line, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Say the first Pasuk in the Shir Shal Yom. And the main thing is to say the first line. Ramah has quotes from earlier sources. The Vilna Gaon denies that it says it in earlier sources. He thinks that this is a misprint. But the Ramah quotes this practice, that the davening begins with Kaddish, Tefillah B'Tzibur should begin with Kaddish and should end with Kaddish. So the Tefillah B'Tzibur begins with the Kaddish after Yishtabach, Chatzi Kaddish after Yishtabach. The Kaddish after Mizmashir, Chanukah Sabai Zadabit, or the Kaddish after Hizem Mekayman, that's the Kaddish Yosem. So our practice here in Yeshiva is if there's no Yosem, so you don't say that Kaddish. But the Chatzi Kaddish after Yishtabach, before Baruchu, that's the beginning of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And then the Kaddish after Aleinu, the Ramok claims that's, even if there's no Yosem to say Kaddish, that's the conclusion of the Tefillah B'Tzibur. That's why the Ramok recommends that one should keep on his Tefillah until after the Tefillah B'Tzibur, until after the Kaddish after Aleinu. And the Beis Medrash, we have that practice because Rabbi Soloveitchik had that practice. He used to follow that Ramok. If there was nobody saying Kaddish, he would always say the Kaddish after Aleinu, by Mincha, by Ma'ariv, by Shacharis, whatever. Outside of the Beis Medrash, we don't necessarily follow that minhag. That was also Soloveitchik's minhag. The Vilna Gaon says that the whole Ramah is a mistake. He thinks that it's not so. According to the Vilna Gaon, the Tefillah B'Tzibur is ended with the Kaddish Tiskabel, that's right before Aleinu. The Kaddish after Aleinu is a Kaddish Yosef. So if there's nobody who's in Avelus, so you don't need that Kaddish. But that was the practice of the Ramah. Rav Soloveitchik had that practice. Okay? How about Slacha? Tomorrow someone else is giving a shirak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Is Rebbe giving a shirak tomorrow?